Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As the House Budget Committee takes up the GOP health care bill intended to replace the Affordable Health Care Act, we're going to spend some time talking about that replacement and about what the proposed changes might mean in South Dakota. With me for that, Dirk Lammers with the South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations. Welcome, Dirk.
Thanks for having me.
We're here at the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. And let's just start with the South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations. Give me an overview of what that group does.
Well, we are we represent all of the hospitals in the state, 55, as well as 33 long-term care providers. So, you know, your nursing homes, hospice, home health care organizations. So we kind of are across that whole continuum of health care from all ages.
That world must change on a daily basis. Hold on for the ride.
It really does, and especially since November, I think the ride is higher, steeper, and quicker,
right?
To use the analogy.
Did you have that feeling? I don't know how long you've been with the organization. Did you have that feeling when the Affordable Care Act first rolled out that it was a long, steep ride and then it settled down? Or is this different than before?
Well, I wasn't with, I did some reporting on healthcare. I was a reporter prior to this. I've been with the organization for about almost a year now. And obviously, anytime you do something as overwhelming as the Affordable Care Act, you're going to have a lot of pushback, a lot of discussion. And, you know, nobody ever said that the legislation was perfect. And, you know, everybody is open to tweaks and fixes along the way. But I think what we're seeing now is really something probably 6 months ago that no one was anticipating.
And right now it looks like the House Budget Committee has advanced the health care bill. That's just happening today faster than maybe some people anticipated. So it's moving quickly as well.
It is. And, you know, the House, it was clear from those first two hearings with the Energy and Commerce and the House Ways and Means Committee that this bill was somewhat on a fast track. But, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. There's a process here. You're already hearing a lot of people in the Senate calling for us to slow down. Let's take this slow. Let's do it right. Just this week, Senator Thune was saying that he'd like to see this bill help people on the lower end a little more. And we're certainly lockstep with him on that comment. So, and really, we don't even know what's going to happen on the House side yet. Clearly, the Senate is going to have some issues and want some changes with this. But even on the House, we're seeing both the far right and the left have a lot of problems that they see with this bill. So this is not a sure thing on the House side by any means.
All right. So let's talk about some of those problems. Where are the challenges that are making folks in South Dakota a little nervous or concerned?
Well, for our members, you know, the issue is access. And access in our current system is affordable insurance. If people have affordable insurance, they will use the preventative care. They will, you know, go to the doctor instead of going to the emergency room when things have gotten out of hand. You know, the CBO finally came out with its numbers, you know, it estimated that 24 million people would lose coverage. That's across the country, and that's 14 million right away in 2018. You know, we've done our best to do a preliminary analysis and kind of see where this would fit in South Dakota, and our estimates are about 25,000 South Dakotans would likely lose their insurance the 2018 fiscal year, and that's mostly due to those federal subsidies being significantly reduced to help people get and buy insurance.
So just if you're tuning in, CBO, Congressional Budget Office, right?
Yes.
Make sure everybody's on the same page there. 25,000 South Dakotans could lose health insurance in the first, right away. Now, those people don't stop going to the doctor, or they do. They don't stop.
They're not going to be less sick, I guess we could say, because they don't have insurance. Whether they go to the doctor, it's, you know, their health, the cost of their sickness might be quite a bit less if they went early to the doctor and had a, you know, breast cancer detected or you know, a treatment for something that wouldn't progress to something worse. So certainly being proactive is always better in this industry.
So Dirk, what happens then when someone does get sick and presents themselves at the emergency room? Who pays for that?
Well,
if they can't, I mean,
we, our members do, and that's, you know, we're talking about you know, quite a bit. We're talking about $124 million or in uncompensated care. And when we talk about uncompensated care, I believe, you know, that's kind of an industry term, but we're talking about charity care, which is that when we have people come in that can't pay it, or people that have every intent on paying it, but because of the cost can't. So it's that charity care and bad debt portion. And certainly, you know, when you couple that with some of the cuts we're looking at, this is a pretty, could be a bleak forecast for our providers, especially in the rural areas that really struggle to provide that care with the minimum reimbursement that they get on Medicaid from the federal government.
Let's talk about those rural providers. How significant is the impact on them, and can you tell me exactly what it looks like?
Not at numbers. You know, we haven't broken it down past. I mean, we can, using the CBO numbers on Medicaid, you know, they're looking at about $880 billion over 10 years across the country. And we're looking at a 30% reduction to the states. So in South Dakota, that would be about $300 million annually. That's across not just the rural areas, it's across the state. But, you know, with the way Medicaid funding works, and, you know, our providers are not fully compensated for the care they're giving in most cases, that's going to be a big hit for the rural providers that are already struggling.
Could that lead, in theory, to fewer services in places, and actually places shutting down or being unable to operate in a rural location? Or am I taking it two steps too far?
Well, we don't know. This is so much, right, so much of this bill we don't know. You know, we're looking, we're kind of rolling back and looking at the numbers on a state level, but certainly our members are concerned. You know, they're out there because, you know, providing these services because this is what they do. This is their mission, and these communities need them. So we would be concerned at how this would affect them, and, you know, they're going to have to do what they can to keep fulfilling this mission.
What's your role now as an advocate for South Dakota hospitals and long-term care providers as far as communicating and talking to our congressional delegation, saying this is what we need next? What's that process like for you?
Well, certainly those conversations are ongoing. Our CEO sent a letter to Representative Noem yesterday. He's talking with both our Senate offices as well. Those conversations are ongoing. We're also trying to hear from our members on their concerns and also communicate with them what we're hearing from Washington. As you mentioned, this is a very fast pace.
Fluid,
so,
yeah.
You know, what we shared with them yesterday, you know, might be different by 5 o'clock today. We might need to share more of a message, but we're trying to keep everybody as up to date as we can as this changes.
You know, when I have conversations, and this is a question that I know you can't answer 100%, but when I have conversations with people outside the industry, we always come back to the same thing, which is, why is it so expensive? Why is healthcare in general so expensive? I know that is a big question, but when people ask you that, and they must, what are some of the first things that we need to think about to understand, what the prices reflect?
Well, there's so many levels with this. I mean, you're talking about people's lives. There are so many safeguards that hospitals and long-term care providers do. You have to have people that are very highly trained. So obviously medical school, when someone decides to be a doctor, they're going to pay a lot of money for this training, and then they have to keep things up to date. You have to have the latest equipment, and technology is always changing. So there's so many layers because providers want to provide the best care. And doing so, you know, you don't want to necessarily use a 20-year-old piece of equipment when a 5-year-old piece of equipment can provide that better care. So there's so many levels. You have insurance companies, you have prescription drug providers. But, you know, when when you have help with such as the previous subsidies under the ACA, helping people pay for that, they can get quality health care, and that leads to better outcomes. And I think when we were looking at protecting people by giving them access to preventative care, I think we're on the path to start seeing improvements in public health because of that.
Dirk Lammers, we thank you for the update there. Dirk is with the South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations. This is something we're following very closely, so we'll hope you'll come back and share more with us.
Thank you very much.